people make it never king. A country that once stood so tall, on faith and liberty, has compromised its standards and is falling to its knees. Holiness and godly love are very hard to find, but so many of our Christians a fear of God and a made-up mind are things of yesterday. But we need dedicated saints of God that will stand for Jesus' name. Spread the word and shine your light. Serve the Lord with all your might. Can't you hear the battle cry? It's time you choose your side. Make up your mind, friend, count the cost. Will you be saved or be lost? You stand for the cross. Hell is growing every day, and the time is drawing nigh. Excuses and complaints are a waste of precious time. And be a soldier for the Lord, and hold that blood-stained banner high. Spread the word and shine your light. Serve the Lord with all your might. And can't you hear the battle cry? It's time you choose your side. Make up your mind and count the cost. Will you be saved or be lost? Will you stand for the cross? Make up your mind and count the cost. Will you be saved or be lost? Will you stand for the cross? Will you stand for
turn with us today over in Luke's Gospel in the 16th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. I appreciate all the men that went with us Tuesday evening over to the other church and spoke at the men's fellowship. Had a good time in the Lord, and those fellows are amen you. So it's like if you amen a preacher, it's like saying sick him to a bulldog. He's going to get you, amen. So. But we had a good time. I believe everyone enjoyed it. Appreciate Brother David and Brother Mike going to singing. And everyone that came, appreciate you very much. I know you hear me all the time, and I know it's love that draws you to get to come and hear me even then. So I appreciate you. Luke's Gospel in the 16th chapter and verse number 23. Jesus talking here, telling this story. He said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, for life that you have given us. We thank you for the choice that we have this morning, even in this service. God, that if we choose wisely, we all, Lord, can leave here today on the way to heaven. Father, help us all to choose wisely. You told us in Deuteronomy that you have put before us this day death and life, blessing and cursing. But Lord, then you said, choose life. Lord, you try to influence us your way, even though you give us choice. We're free moral agents, God, that you have given us the ability to choose. But Lord, you have done your very best to help us to choose wisely. And Father, I pray, Lord, every person in this building and the other building here across the street, Lord, everywhere a body of believers is joined together, ask God that you'd speak with our hearts. Let us know, Lord, that this life that we're living is only temporal. It's temporary. And Father, things are changing upon this earth and about to change greatly. And Father, we just love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in the story here that Jesus, and we'll read it momentarily, but I want to bring us up to speed to where we at. As we look back in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, we know that Jesus is here telling three different stories there. The one with the lost sheep, one with the lost coin, one with the prodigal son. And is trying to tell people about the grace and the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. We know in the story of the lost sheep is, in all of them, we can see people's lives. The lost sheep is a person who has wandered away, not knowing. And sometimes in the church world, there's people that come and, you know, they want to do good, but they wander off because they're young in the Lord or either don't know the Lord and they're wandering out there in darkness. And it's our job to leave the 99 and go after that one. Amen. They wandered off. Unintentionally, they just, through ignorance, they wandered off. The next story is the one with the lost coin. If you notice close, the woman is the one that lost the coin. Maybe you offended someone, and they're not in church today because you offended them. You lost them. You go get them. You go find them. It's your responsibility. The blood is on your hands. Amen. And then the last one is the story of the prodigal son. And we know the prodigal son left on his own. There's some people that leave on their own. Nothing you can do about it. You know, they was mature. They had all the right faculties. They knew what they was doing and they left. If you notice, the father never one time went after him. He never sent a letter, never did anything. He just understood that boy just had to find out for his own self. And when he found out and he got low enough, he'll come back. Amen. And so Jesus is talking here and telling in the 15th chapter the story of the prodigal son as he ends it. And the story has a good ending that as the prodigal son was out there in the world and he's talking to the Pharisees about worldliness and he's out there searching for worldliness. And worldliness has a way of robbing us. And it robbed him and stripped him that he was down in the hog pen feeding the hogs. That's how the world can get people. I've seen people in life that they start out good seemingly and then it turns for the worse. Sin always, it'll carry you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and it'll cost you more than you're able to pay. I've seen it too many times and you have too, if you'll be honest. And but the son said, I'm going back to the father's house where the hired servants eat better than I am. And you know the story, when he came back, the father was watching and waiting. And that's what God is looking this morning. I believe every service where the Bible is open and a preacher begins to bring the message that God is sent, I believe the Lord kind of leans up like that father on that porch and he's looking for somebody. I wonder if they're going to come home today. And that father was watching that son come down the road and he ran out and he met him. Amen. You know the story. Bring the best robe and a ring for heirship. Amen. It's got a happy ending. So the Pharisees kind of snubbed at Jesus talking about worldliness and the dangers of worldliness and the dangers of the world. So Jesus turns here into the 16th chapter and he begins to tell them serious. I want to get serious with you. It's one thing that we can come in here and jump the pews and I can, you know, preach you happy and all this. But look, there's a serious part of life. There's something that we need to know this morning. And so he begins to tell them and set this story before them and to warn them of the wrath that is to come. Amen. We understand that life has a reality to it, that we all shall leave this by the door called death, unless we go in the rapture. He said in Hebrews in the 9th chapter and verse 27, for it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. God is talking to us about the judgment today. He says in the story in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, he says in verse number 19, he says, there was a certain rich man. This is not a fiction story. Jesus said there was a rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, luxuriously every day, had it made. Okay, sera, sera. Verse 20 said, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Who's the beggar? And beside all this, between us and you, it is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he says, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We get a picture this morning of this story that this rich man is, he died and was buried and lifted his eyes in hell. Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. Get a picture. This is before Jesus died. They're down in the heart of this earth. There's a place down there called paradise. It's vacated today. But that time there was the Old Testament saints, Abraham and David, Job, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all those. And a great gulf in between, and on the other side was hell. You say, well, how do you know that's the way it is, Brother David? Well, remember when Jesus on the cross and the thief asked him, said, you know, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in where? Paradise. Matthew 12:40 said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. When Jesus died, said, it is finished. He went down to the heart of the earth. He took the keys away from Satan that he stole from Adam and Eve in the garden. He went over to a place called Paradise, had him a 3-day revival. And he came out and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Amen. He freed them out. It's vacant today because Jesus is the way. They couldn't go yet because Jesus is the way. Jesus came, made a way for them. They're out. But here in this story, Jesus hadn't died yet. So he's telling the story. And he says, there's this great gulf. The rich man is tormented here. He said he lifted up his eyes. It's amazing how reality has set in. All the time that he walked on this earth and he was blessed with air to breathe. He was blessed with food to eat. He was blessed with clothes. He was blessed with mentality to work and to gain. I mean, he was blessed with health and all the things that we enjoy. Yet we never look up and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the air you've given me. I want to serve you for blessing me. It's like the hog eating acorns all day long and never one time look up to see where they come from. He said he lifted up his eyes then. Reality has set in. Now he has become the beggar. And he cries out to Abraham across the gulf. And he said, send Lazarus that he would touch my tongue with some cool water, for I'm tormented in these flames. Now, I'm not making this up. Jesus said it. This is reality. This is true. This happened. He had his 5 senses. He had his sight, had his hearing, he had his taste, he had his touch, amen, had his smell. All 5 senses. In fact, I think the 6th sense kicked in reality. Amen. So he had all these things and he's crying out. And he cries out in verse 24, and he's crying out for what? Mercy. I want mercy. He's crying out for this mercy from Abraham. But what did Abraham say in verse 25? He says a simple little word, remember. Remember what? Remember the opportunities you had on earth to get right. Remember the times that the preacher preached to you and you held on and you pinched the pew and would not get up. Remember the times that God dealt with you when the co-worker, or in the middle of the night when God was waking you up from sleep and he's talking and trying to say, get right. Remember all those times. Remember in your lifetime, you have plenty of time to get right. Remember all those opportunity. Remember, you see, in a place of outer darkness and lake of fire, it tells us a place where the worm dieth not. What does that mean? That means your conscience, you'll be conscious that all the time, you know when God has dealt with you before. Come on. You know the times you've disobeyed God. You know. And what will happen is your conscience will be so improved that everything that's ever happened to you, you'll remember. You'll remember the times when you said, no, not now, because I've got plans for tomorrow. You'll remember. He says in verse 28, he says, look. He said, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. It's amazing how evangelistic work starts out of hell, don't it? All of a sudden, he wants to evangelize the world. Boy, maybe even some of us need to feel the little flames of hell a little bit. You know, maybe we'll get more on fire to evangelize the world. Go send him to my father's house, because I got 5 brothers and I don't want them to go to hell. Do we do that to our ones that's living now? Come on. Are we after our brothers and sisters? Are we after our cousins? Are we after our co-workers? Are we really serious about it? Do we want them not to go to hell? Does it take us getting in hell to want to send a message back? It'll be too late then. Now's the time we can talk to them. Now is the time. I know it's a tough message this morning. I don't choose the messages. He does. Jesus preached on hell. Come on. A lot of preachers are afraid to preach on hell. I'm afraid I'll lose my congregation. You ought to lose some men, my friend, if you're afraid to preach on hell. Jesus preached on hell. It's a reality. What did Abraham answer back? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Deliverance Tabernacle. They got Jedburgh Baptist. They got Brother David. They got Brother Anthony. Come on. They got. If they don't hear them, they'll not hear though one rose from the dead. Church on every corner. People still going to hell. You see, today there's two roads. My question to you is, which one are you on? Ain't no middle ground. Is it either what? Saved or you lost? You're either saved today or you're lost. You're either on a road going to heaven today, thank God, or you're on a road going to hell. And I say thank God to that, because today you can turn around. You're in a good place. There's only two roads. I mean, Jesus talked about the broad and the narrow. It's only two ways. Amen. Nor will me one. That's where we're headed. Look at the one next to you and say, what is at the end of the road you're on? There's an end to it, you know. Come on. All roads have to end. He said in Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter in verse 33. He said, talking about when the king separates, he said, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Read in between when you get home, but going down to verse 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you understand what he said? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for mankind. People say that I was born to go to hell. No, you wasn't. Hell wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because men has chosen to go that route, Isaiah the 5th chapter, verse 14. I want to read 13 to you. I know what 14 says, but listen to this. Verse 13, she don't have this, but listen. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure. There's something hot down there somewhere. Hello, I see on the news sometimes molten rock coming out on top of a mountain. There's something hot down there somewhere. So, well, why does it boil over sometime? I don't know. I can't answer that, but I know if you keep putting something in something, it's going to run over sooner or later, and souls or men are dropping in. I don't believe all that, Brother Dave. I don't get paid to make you believe. I get paid to preach you. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about rewards from the Father. My job is to warn you. I'm a sign on the roadway that you're going, that there's a dangerous curve, or either the road, the bridge is out down there. That's all I am. It's a sign unto you that the road, it takes an awful turn. Stop, turn around and go back. Repent means turn around. You're headed the wrong way. That's all I am. He says in Matthew's gospel, the 8th chapter, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? The demons were saying, Jesus said, well, what are you doing coming on the scene now? Are you here before time? See, they know what time it is. They know their time is running out. They thought that he was there to cast them into the lake of fire. But the time's not yet for that. They know what time it is. They know the Bible much better than some Christians know it. Amen. You see, this rich man, he's still in hell today. It's been 2,000 years, over 2,000 years since Jesus told this story. And the rich man is still in hell, tormented, crying out. I wonder what he thought when he looked over there and he saw Abraham and he saw Jesus in there with them and they shouting and praising God. Amen. And when he saw them all starting to leave out, headed for heaven, headed for the glory land, I wonder what he felt like. He said, I could have been with that number. I could have gone with them, but I was hard-headed.
Yes, yes, amen.
And he's still thinking today. Today. This hell that Jesus tells his story, and the hell, the word is Hades. It's a place of departed souls. It is a temporary holding place, is what it is, till the judgment. Jesus mentions another hell. In the Bible, when you read a word, you need to know the meaning of that word to get the full meaning of what he's talking about. Jesus says hell 10 times as far as Hades. And he mentions hell 12 times, which means Gehenna. One time something else Paul did. But listen, in the New Testament, when Jesus mentions Gehenna, we'll talk a little bit more about it at the end in Revelation, but listen, that word Gehenna means everlasting punishment. The Jews could better understand it than we could this morning of me just saying Gehenna to you. It doesn't mean anything to you. But to the Jews, when Jesus said that the soul that sinneth shall be cast into Gehenna, they understood a little bit clearer of what he was trying. He was drawing them a picture, because you got to understand there's a valley in Jerusalem named Gehenna. It's a trash heap. It's where all the refuge and all the dump and all the junk goes. And there day and night is a smoke of burning going up day and night. They understood it was a perpetual burning, a perpetual smoke, black darkness. They understood in the darkness of the night that the dogs would be there growling and gnashing and wailing of teeth and fighting one another. And they knew of this place called Gehenna. And when Jesus said, if you sin, that's where you're going to be thrown, it kind of made them stop and think, I don't want to go into such a place as that. But the place he was describing was far worse than what he was describing on earth. But they had a better understanding of what he was talking about. Amen? Hebrews in the 2nd chapter in verse number 2, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let me tell you, there is no escape if we disregard this great salvation that Jesus Christ paid for. We are without excuse, my friends. Said in Hebrews in the 10th chapter verse 28, listen to the law of Moses. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. They would stone him to death if you disobeyed the law of Moses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, you turned and walked away from it and you reject it. I don't want anything to do with it. Lord, why do I get these messages? You know how I got this message? The words came to me. He was in torments. Torments. The word torment and tormented. I can't describe it big enough and bad enough for you. Let me tell you how the callousness of the world is today. Let me tell you. I remember back in the 80s. Sister Connie and I was young in the Lord. We was going over here to Somerville Church of God. And this fellow had this movie around here called The Burning Hail. Have y'all ever heard of it? Anybody ever heard The Burning Hail? Well, I remember hearing about it. And so I wanted to, you know, we had brought it to the church. And man, this is in the 80s, just in the 80s now. We showed that thing, and I'm telling you, it'd almost scare you to death. The Burning Hail. So, you know, years went past, and here we are, you know, 10, 15 years later, and we want to show it. We thought it'd be good to show it to our young people. We showed it here in this church. I sat in the back. Some teenagers back there said, laughing. Man, that ain't nothing up there. That ain't nothing. We see worse than that on television. Sad, isn't it? You know what the Bible said about the unprofitable servant? He said in Matthew 25 and 30, he said, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When someone is in pain and torment and grit their teeth, I'll be down there with all my friends. I've heard people make stupid statements like, "I'm going to hell because all my friends are going there." Out of darkness, how can you see them? Well, a rich man could see. Yeah, he was looking over into the light. You got to understand, Gehenna, a part of Gehenna means sulfur. Brimstone is sulfur. Everlasting fire and brimstone is sulfur. They say the highest deposit of sulfur on this earth is in the center of the earth. Sulfur burns with a smoldering, stinking, burning stench and dark smoke. Oh yeah, you go party down. Oh yeah, we go have a good time down there with my friends in hell. What an idiot. What a foolish statement. I love you, friends. That's why I tell you this. I could have got some kind of little, you know, "My God will supply all your need." Well, he does. He supplies salvation. That's all you need this morning. I could have tickled your ears this morning and said, "Just go ahead and keep living like you're living. Everything's going to be fine, man. Just believe in God. Everything float along. Live your best life now." You better if you're going to hell, because this is going to be your best life. Help us, Lord. Help me to be nice this morning, Lord. What did he say to the one at the wedding? Matthew 22 and 12. He said unto him, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was without excuse, speechless. You know, when I was a little boy, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a little boy, it's the honest truth. I was raised in church. My dad's Pentecostal preacher all my life. Church of God. And this is when I was, Brother Steve, I was, you know, probably 7 or 8, 10 years old, something like that. 12. I actually thought, Brother Dave, that I could get by with this. I would just say, if I died and I hadn't accepted Jesus, when I get there, I'm going to say, "Well, Lord, you know, there's a lot of churches and I didn't know which one was right. Some say you can drink and some say you can smoke and some say you have to live righteous and holy. And I just didn't know which one was right. So I just kind of like all of them lived, you know." Isn't that childish? Isn't that childish? We're without excuse. He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." What do you mean, Brother Dave? Few are chosen because many of them were called, but they didn't heed the call. The call went out to all.
Isaiah the 55th chapter said, all they that are thirst come. Those that are hungry come. Come on. All the prostitutes come. All the drug addicts come. All the adulterers come. Come on. He that without money come. The call has gone out. But they heeded not the call.
I remember one time at work, and I was sitting talking to the other supervisor in our department. We shared the office together. We were just talking. He looked at me and he said, what happens when you die? And I'm just going by the Bible here. Story of Lazarus there. What happened when he died? He was carried by angels, right? At that time, Abraham's bosom. I told him, I said, When you die, an angel comes. I can't get out of this body. Look, I'm trying to jump out right now, but I can't. I don't know how to get out. Do y'all know how to get out of this body? I'm in here looking, peeping at you through these windows here. I can see you through these windows here. I can hear you through these little inlets right here. But I can't get out, you know. But one of these days, an angel going to come up to me, and he's going to grab me by my spiritual hand. He said, let me show you how it's done. And I'm going to come right out of that body and leave it there. Amen. And Brian, somebody's going to come up to you one day and say, son, your daddy's dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I'll be more alive then than I've ever been. Come on. Don't you believe a word of it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to take off. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on. And that's where I'm going to be with my mama and Jesus. Come on. And Paul and all these others we sang about in the meeting in the air. He looked at me. And I'm thinking as a Christian, because I mean, that's the only way I'm going to die, because I'm a Christian, right? He said, well, what happens when a sinner dies? It stumped me. I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, angels wouldn't take them out and cast them in the hell. I said, I don't know. And so there's nothing wrong with telling people you don't know. When you don't know, don't lie to them. So I went out in the plant and I'm just walking around. I mean, it had me puzzled. I said, Lord, what happens when a sinner dies? You know what he said to me? He said, the demons come and lays hands on their soul and drags them out of that body, kicking and screaming, and drags them into hell. I went back and told him that. Now, this was years before the movie Ghost came out. Now, I'm not saying Ghost is some religious movie, but someone had some insight. I don't know if y'all saw that movie or not. But you know, when someone that was seemingly good would die on that movie, this bright light would come. And they would go in this bright light like happiness. But when someone that was evil would die, did not the shadows over in the darkness come and they lay hold and they're screaming and hollered. That's exactly what I told that guy years before. Somebody must have found that out and wrote a movie. Man, I could have wrote that movie. Did you notice in that movie? Did you notice in that movie that when that unclean spirit, that guy was walking around and heads down the subway and he had found out how to jump the subway or something, you know. But anyhow, he was trying to, was it Patrick Swayze or who it was in that show. He said, teach me how to do that. And so he worked with him and he, you know, where he could make things move and all. And it said something in this movie. He went over and he kicked the cigarette machine that evil guy did. And those cigarettes fell out. Did you see that? And what did he do? He got down and he said, oh, what would I do for one drag of these things? Oh, that's where your worm dies not. You know, people can't live without drugs, can't live without habits. It's going to be strong down in hell. But he says, oh, what would I give? And you know what happens? Demons, later on the show, remember, he got inside Whoopi Goldberg
and he could feel his wife. You know it? You understand what I'm saying? Those demons get inside people and they can feel the sensations of drugs and alcohol and adultery. I'm telling you, that's why people do the things they do. That's why they kill and they steal. Come on. That's why they disrupt lives, because it's demon influence either around them or in them. Come on. You've heard people say, I don't know what came over me. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I do these things. They don't know, because they're influenced by devils. Play around with them. Go ahead. Glory to God. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus asked a question in Matthew's Gospel, 23rd chapter, verse 33. He said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers." Now, I ain't called none of y'all serpents this morning, have I? I ain't called y'all vipers, have I? See, I'm nice. And when you leave here today, say, that was a nice preacher, wasn't it? How can ye escape the damnation of hell? What a question. Well, the Bible tells us how. The Bible tells us in many, many places to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him as our Savior. The plan is so simple that a child can be saved. That you to walk in that path as you're led. He says in Acts 4:12, he said, there's none other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Come on. It is not in your money. It is not in America. It is not in Barack Obama. Come on. It is not in your senators. It's not in your congressman. It is not in the denominational name. It is in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, that we're saved. Jesus said he came to seek and to save them that are lost. Amen. Remember there in John's Gospel in the 6th chapter, verse number 66. A good place for it, wasn't it? John 6:66. It says that they departed from him and walked with him no more. That's a sad scripture, isn't it? Some of his disciples departed from him and walked with him no more. Jesus turned around and looked at Peter, and some of them said, hey, y'all going to leave me too? And Peter said, where can we go? Where can we go? Thou holdest the words of eternal life. Let me tell you, eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And if you don't like that, my friend, ain't nothing we can do about it. I can't help you. It takes the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus preached hell and damnation. And some people, some today care not to hear it. I don't want to hear that. Doesn't change hell, doesn't make it go away, doesn't change the degree of hell, not one bit. It's a reality, friends. Just as much as a reality if I'm standing before you this morning and you're sitting before me. Hell is a reality. Heaven is a reality. The new heaven and new earth is a reality. I got some plans. God's got bigger plans and got us included in it if we want to. Amen. It says, let me give you a timeline. Just a little bit more and I'll finish. Let me give you a timeline, can we? Timeline. If you don't accept the Lord, or if you do. Timeline. The next on the timeline of God's timeline is the rapture of the church. We know that. It's an event that's about to take place. Rapture is not in the Bible. The word, the event is. We're going to be caught up. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 is the place in Revelation where the rapture will take place. After that, the churches are not mentioned anymore. Second, third chapter, churches, 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 poop. They're gone. I'm not going to be here. If the rapture takes place this week, next Sunday you come back, I will not be here. It might be someone else up here saying, whatever feels good, do it. Let's have us a party. Them old holy people are out of here and we're in. The rapture takes place. What happens? Then there's 7 years of tribulation. Daniel, the ninth chapter, talks about 77-year period. 69 of them has already been fulfilled. One more to be completed. 7 years. Tribulation upon this earth. 3.5 years will be peace. Antichrist will rise up. So, oh man, make a covenant with Israel. And boy, everything is just going so sweet and good. In the middle of the week, you're going to stand up and he says, I am God. You'll serve me. And he said that Israel is to bring Israel back to God. This judgment. God's going to turn his attention to Israel. 7 years. And after the tribulation, the Lord comes back with us. And it'll be the battle of Armageddon. One day long. Everybody say Armageddon. That's where the blood will be up the horse and bridle, right? Armageddon. Then what's going to happen? One angel having a great chain going to bind Satan 1,000 years. Be 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. What will be happening? We'll be cleansing this earth. Amen. With fire. We are the fire. We're to be destroying all the abortion clinics, all the honky-tonks, all the evidence of sin. We'll be cleansing it, getting it ready for the new city, New Jerusalem. What happens after the 1,000-year millennium? People have to serve God then. After the 1,000-year millennium. Then after the 1,000-year millennium, the Bible said, and let me read it, Revelation 20:7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and beloved city, Jerusalem, is what he's talking about. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. It's the battle of Gog and Magog. Listen, some people won't like the way Jesus is setting this thing up, but it's too bad. Amen. These are natural people, not the saints of God, not us. It says that the devil that deceived them was cast, in other words, like fire. That's how long this battle lasts. Boom! And it's over. Listen. And the devil that deceived them was cast out to the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book. Books means two. Another book means one. Three books. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written within the books, according to their works. The book of life was open, which is one book. And the other books is the book of our life and this Bible here. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead, which is in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The rich man will be brought before this white throne. This is the judgment of sinners. Only sinners go before the white throne judgment. The rich man that's in hell, hell will deliver him before the white throne judgment. And it says, let me read the last scripture. Listen to it close. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Gehenna. Listen. A sinner dies today. Boom, they're drugged into hell by demons. The white throne judgment. All this other timeline I went through is gone to pass. And now it's time for the judgment. They're brought before this white throne judgment, and the books were open, and another book, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. The books is the Bible, the book of your life, the time you was born. You know, there's a recording angel that's recording your life. Everything you do is being recorded. I don't believe that, brother. They don't change a bit. The books are open. God will look, and he said, your name. Say David Williams was in hell. David Williams, the day you was born. I know more about me. Let me tell me. Say if I was down there, David Whitfield, born July 25th, 1951. Carnesville, Georgia, Franklin County. Thomas and Rose Ada Whitfield. Is that right? There's no hiding place. That's right. You're brought up in church. Look here. this date, and he calls a date. I dealt with your heart. I spoke to you. I came. And I said, look, Jesus died for you, David Whitfield. And you need to come and accept him. But you resisted. You resisted. Time went by. A co-worker witnessed to you. Another church service. June the 14th, 2009. A little old church deliverance tabernacle. Preached on hell. There it is. I believe it'll have a little screen. Maybe show some of it. See, if he brings you and you die lost, you come to that, I'll be sitting up there. And he'll turn around and he says, remember that man right down there? He was preaching at you. He was telling you about this day. He says, the day you died. He'll pick up the Lamb's Book of Life and he'll look through it for your name. It won't be there. He'll pick up this book, the Bible. And he says, the judgment is set. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You set your judgment. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment, day and night, forever and ever. I'm saved and it scares the daylights out of me. It's reality, friends. When are you going to die? When are you going to die? Sister Katina, can you? I didn't know you was in here. I'm sorry. The rich man, if he were to be able to come into this building today, oh, how he could preach to us. How he could preach to us about this place of torment. Brother Chad, I believe if we could get the vision that that rich man is seeing down there, darkness would not stop us. Tiring and overwork would not stop us. Rejection would not stop us from getting our loved ones saved. My God. If you're lost in here today, don't leave here. Please, please don't leave here lost. Please don't. I've studied that book for 25, 26, 27 years. Years and years and hours of study. And I found no other way. No other way. But the man that laid down his life for us, Jesus Christ. It wasn't nails that held him to that tree. It was his love for you and me. He laid his life down and he looked at us and he says, do you want my life? Do you want my love? It's like the old song that they used to sing, Delling Grace, I think it was, said, Jesus kind of looked at us way down here and he says, I'm leaving it up to you. You decide what you want to do. Now, do you want my love? Or are we through? Come on and stand and move from where you're at. Come on to this altar right now. Come on.